Now, for the next few minutes, I'd like to think with you about don't miss the blessings of God. Thanksgiving is an interesting time in our country. The cooks among us face the prospect of preparing massive amounts of food for the Thanksgiving Day meal. But food lovers among us face the prospect of overindulging and regretting it the next day. We suffer from a unique malady. We have too much, and we pay for it in many ways. In Jesus' day, they had the opposite problem. There was rarely a surplus of food. One season of harsh weather or an infestation of bugs could wipe out entire crops and leave the people hungry for weeks. So imagine how the people received Jesus' words in our scripture for this morning in Matthew, the 6th chapter, the 25th and 26th verses. And so Jesus says, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they?" There is an old saying that wherever you see the word "therefore" in the Bible, it is there for a reason. What came before it? Jesus had just been talking about money and its ability to enslave us and take the place of God in our lives. He's telling his listeners, most of whom are poor, that their security could not be found in money and possessions. And they're thinking, "Yeah, right, where are we supposed to find our security?" And that's a question with which every person on earth is confronted. Where do we find our security? We worry because we are out of touch with God. That's something we need to see this Thanksgiving. The key to defeating worry is to be grounded in God. When the disciples first saw that Jesus really did have a different relationship with God than any they had known, they came to him with a profound request. They asked him, "Teach us to pray." And they wanted to know how Jesus communicated with the holy, holy, holy God. I imagine their surprise when he started his prayer with "Abba," which can be roughly translated "daddy." When Jesus spoke to God, he spoke of a loving father. In Matthew, the 6th chapter and the 8th verse of this passage, Jesus reminds his listeners to pray sincerely because your Father knows what you need before you ask him. And that's true. He knows what we need. But I always say, if you're an adult and you have an adult child and that you know what the child needs and wants, but you can't give that to the child until they ask you, because if you give them something, they may not want it. And I know that's a fact. I've given my daughter something and she didn't want it. And so we need to pray. And that's what Jesus is teaching them there. Pray and ask God, and God will give it to you. Author G. K. Chesterton claims that you can learn all the most vital information about any person's basic worldview of life and approach to life by asking them this one question: do you think the universe is friendly? Chesterton used the word "universe," but really he's asking the question, do you think there is a God? And if there is a God, does God really care about us? When we are able to answer that question in the affirmative and to do it without reservation, we're able to lay aside our worries. Do you really think that God cares about you? Oh, I know that's a leap of faith to believe that God really does care about us. It's like the poor woman who was planning a weekend of entertainment for some guests. She made a list of things that she needed to do, including taking the food out of the freezer and going grocery shopping. As it happened, a friend whom she had been promising to take for lunch asked if they could make it on Friday. So, hopping into her car, this woman taped her to-do list on the dashboard and went to pick up her friend. As her friend settled into the car, her face dropped and she said, "Thanks a lot." And then the woman glanced at her to-do list and saw the first item, "Take out the turkey." It is a great stretch of faith to believe that God could really care about turkeys like us. But that is the reason for worry. We are out of touch with God. When we are out of touch with God, we burden ourselves with needless anxiety. Rather than relaxing and enjoying the bounty God has provided us, we create all kinds of thoughts in our brain about things that could go wrong. Kevin Ramsdell, a customer service agent at the Detroit Metro Airport, tells of encountering a frantic customer who had left a book on an airplane. From the woman's panicking reaction, Ramsdell thought it must be an item of great value. And then Ramsdell asked her just what was the title of this book. And the woman blurted out the title. It was a best-selling book, "Don't Sweat the Small Stuff." Think about it. There is life, there is death, there is salvation. All the rest is small stuff. Lindy Marshall, an office manager in New York City, has a friend who coined a new term for the constant fear New Yorkers felt after the 9/11 attacks. She called it wallpaper anxiety. It's always there in the background, whether we consciously notice it or not. Wallpaper anxiety is one of the most common afflictions of the 21st century. Fear permeates the very air we breathe. But were things so different in Jesus' time? I don't think so, or else Jesus wouldn't have said these words in Matthew, the 6th chapter. Our Lord understood that worry is destructive to us. It causes us to actually miss many of the blessings God has in store for us. Psychologist Dan McAdams led a study at Northwestern University that analyzed how people told their life stories. McAdams found that the life stories tended to follow one of two patterns: a redemption sequence or a condemnation sequence. In the redemption sequence, the person telling the story is able to find good things that came out of bad circumstances. For instance, my girlfriend broke up with me and I thought it was the end of the world. But then I met Sally, and she and I have been happily married for 20 years. The condemnation sequences, on the other hand, are stories where no good comes out of them. My girlfriend broke up with me, and it was the end of the world. McAdams and his colleagues found that those people who had the most redemption sequences in their stories had the more positive impact with their lives. They had a desire to reach out and help others. They wanted to invest in creating a better future for the next generation. But the people who listed the most condemnation sequences in their life were far less successful in creating a positive impact. They were less likely to concentrate on creating meaning and purpose for their lives. In other words, needless anxiety about life produces a sort of self-fulfilling prophecy. The more we worry, the less likely we are to see God's hand at work and to experience God's blessings. The perfect antidote for worry is gratitude. Thanksgiving. Gratitude is the opposite of fear. It's the opposite of self-centeredness. It's the opposite of bitterness. Gratitude springs from faith, and faith results in joy and hope and peace. When we are able to say, "Thank you, God, for the gift of life and all the blessings of life," and then to trust God for all of our lives, then, and only then, we will be able to relax and enjoy all that God has provided. And that's why the Apostle Paul could write from a prison cell in Rome in Philippians, the 4th chapter, in the 6th and 7th verses. Paul writes, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God will transcend all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Jesus Christ." Pastor Charles Allen tells of a particular meaningful Thanksgiving service he led. During the opening hymn, Allen looked out over the congregation. Near the front, he saw the couple who had lost their son to the war in Korea. A few rows behind them, he saw a certain lady who had desired all her life to be a wife and a mother, but her parents became ill when she was very young, and she had devoted her whole life to caring for them. She was lonely, but she never gave in to self-pity. In the back of the church was a man who had been in and out of jail. He had grown up on the streets, poor and unloved. All of these people were dealing with their own private heartaches, and each one of them was there in church that day singing their thanks to God. So we have a choice before us this day. Live with a spirit of gratitude to a good and loving God, or spend our lives anxious and fearful about what life may bring to us. I believe the smart choice is to say, "Thank you, Lord, for the blessings of the past and the blessings that you will bring into my life in the future." And if you have not fully trusted God with your life, and if you do it right now during a time of silent prayer. Just pray, "Heavenly Father, come into my life, forgive all my sins, and help me. In Jesus' name, amen." Let's have a time of silent prayer. Our loving Heavenly Father, help us to really trust our lives to you. Forgive us for all of our sins, and help us to live as you want us to live, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.